Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host is on the East Coast, Josh Applebaum. Josh, how's it going today?
Pritch, I'm doing great. Another big day in the arena. I want to first give congratulations to two big states here, Pritch. Yesterday, I'm not sure if you noticed, but two big dominoes fell in the push to legalize sports betting across America. Anytime we see a new state legalized, I get excited because it means more people can bet on sports legally. We can take it out of the shadows, make it more transparent, hopefully use that tax revenue to benefit everyone within their borders. So congrats to Maryland. They passed it through a ballot initiative in 2020, about 2-1 vote, and then yesterday they had a deadline to get it passed through the legislature. It did get passed, and then we get Arizona. Arizona was kind of out of nowhere, Pritch. It was a state that you didn't really think, you know, there's always these states in mind that you're thinking about could legalize quickly, but Arizona was on the back burner, and then out of nowhere, they got that thing done very quickly. So you're going to see in Maryland, I think it's like 30 retail licenses, 60 online. In Arizona, there's about 20 different licenses. The cool thing, Pritch, is with both Arizona and Maryland, you may get a lot of sports books within sports betting venues. So if you go to an Orioles game or an Arizona Cardinals game, you could have a sports book in the arena, but it's just really awesome to see more states legalize. I'm still waiting on Massachusetts and Boston here, Pritch, but congrats to Arizona and Maryland. Two great dominoes that fell yesterday.
Absolutely. I saw your tweet earlier today, and you're right. Arizona was kind of sneaky with it. I didn't expect that. I mean, out of left field from Arizona.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I think this is the cool thing. It's all about the political will and trying to be bipartisan and just kind of trying to get everyone in the same direction. I think you see states like mine, Massachusetts, that are very cautious. I can point to like every direction around my state and all these states are legal except mine, Pritch. So some states are more cautious, but Arizona, I think the cool thing is Shane Doan, the former captain of the Coyotes, he was instrumental in pushing it. You had a lot of state senators on both sides of the aisle really, you know, move toward legalized betting. So now it's going to go to Governor Ducey's desk. He's expected to sign it. Same thing, Larry Hogan in Maryland here. So, Pritch, hopefully by week one of the NFL, you may be able to bet in Arizona, Maryland, also New York, legally online. So it's just great to see. I think this is now 27 legal states. We're now above that halfway watermark, 25 states. So it's great to see, Pritch. We got, I think, 23 more to go, though, and I'm selfishly waiting for Massachusetts here.
All right. We'll wait for you as well, Josh Applebaum. Great news, like you mentioned. Big news at an NBA, certainly. Jamal Murray out for the season with a torn ACL. The impact on the Nuggets and their odds has been shown. We've seen that with the shift in the odds right here to win the West. It was plus 850, now 12-1. To win the title was 16-1, now 30-1. Big impact right there from the injury standpoint of Jamal Murray.
Yeah, obviously a huge injury here, Pritch. You hate to see it. I mean, this is a team number one that we saw in the bubble last year. Remember they had those incredible Game 7 come from behind wins and a team with, you know, with Jokic on the inside, Murray outside. They also made that big trade there for Aaron Gordon. And this is a team that really had it going here. And it's just it's you hate to see it, whether you were holding a ticket or not, just to see a star player like this go down. So torn ACL, they're calling it out indefinitely. You know, to me, he's out for the season, but that wasn't reported. It's reported, quote, out indefinitely. So I don't know. I don't expect to see him back here. Obviously, the way you've seen these odds move are reflective of the fact that probably he is done for the season here. Yeah. And then it makes you think here, Pritch, you know, who benefits from this? The Lakers haven't changed at all. Plus 150 before the injury, plus 150 now. You did see a little tick up here for the Suns, which was intriguing. They went from 11-1 to 9-1, and also the Jazz. So maybe the Jazz and the Suns, the Jazz going plus 400 to plus 350, they're the two maybe beneficiaries of this injury to Murray. But Pritch, what do you think? Can Jokic and Gordon and you know, kind of these you know, rally around the fact that Jamal Murray's gone? Can they make a move here in the playoffs, or is it, hey, no Murray, this is a bad sign for the Nuggets?
It's a bad sign, Josh. I wish I could say differently than that. Jamal Murray is a superstar, in my opinion. I think what he did in the bubble, certainly taking on some of those teams in the bubble and doing and having the performances that he had. Now they add Aaron Gordon. He's still trying to figure it out right there. Millsap, a little bit older, you know. Can Michael Porter Jr. step up? You know, I don't know if he's ready for that type of role like Jamal Murray had for them. I mean, they're going to rely on Jokic. We know that. But yet, when you get to the playoffs and basketball changes, like we know that the postseason is completely different than what we see in the regular season when it comes to the association. I just think the Nuggets are going to miss Jamal Murray. I mean, this is going to be a detriment, in my opinion, to their chances of winning a championship.
No, I'm right there with you, Pritch. And the fact that these, you know, futures odds have, I would call it tanking, or, you know, just really moving big here based on this injury. And again, that speaks to how important of a player Jamal Murray is. Also, you get into the playoffs, Pritch, and it's like, when a guy can get hot, when a guy can find his own shot, you know, we joke about in the regular season, the NBA, not a lot of defense. It's all about effort. And a lot of times there's not a lot of effort. But when you get into the playoffs, I think that's when people really dial in on defense. And Murray's a guy who could create his own shot, who could get hot and, you know, hit a bunch of threes in a row for you. So the fact that he's gone, obviously a huge hit here, unfortunately, for Nuggets bettors. And also, if you're a fan of the Nuggets, I also want to give a shout out to Steph, who got some of this great info, our producer from BetMGM. Looking at a percentage of tickets and percentage of handle on teams to win the NBA title. So, you know, you did see, you know, the Nuggets were the third most popular bet to win it all. They're getting about 15% of futures tickets at BetMGM. Now I'm looking toward the Nets and the Lakers. These are teams that what I like to see in terms of money is, and I love getting this data, you want a lower percentage of tickets, a higher percentage of money, because that tells you, Pritch, that it's not just $5 fans, you know, betting on their team to hopefully win it all. Maybe it's more bigger bets coming in. So, for example, like the Nets, they're getting 20% of tickets to win it all, but that accounts for almost a third of the money. So that tells you bigger money here on the Nets. And also the Lakers, Pritch. What's your take on the Lakers? You know, they obviously they're two big guys have been out, but they're going to come back here. I think maybe the Lakers plus 150, you know, they're only getting about 17% of the tickets here, but almost 25% of the handle. So that's what I look toward. The bigger money, the lower tickets, tells me more respected money is coming in on Lakers and Nets. And not a surprise here, Pritch, two of the best teams.
Yeah, not a surprise. And I'll tell you what, Josh, I mean, I think sharps are going to be the ones betting the NBA right now. I mean, the casual bettor, good luck with the NBA and trying to bet that, right? I mean, we're so fortunate to have you part of the show today because I'm going to lean on you for market insight. I mean, I think the sharps will have a lot of ingredients with this cake as you're trying to navigate some of the schedule and some of these injuries out there.
Yeah, so it's funny, Pritch. I'll tell you this. This was driving me nuts, and don't even get Michael Lombardi started. I am on his behalf. I'm wearing my Lombardi line shirt. Just okay. I don't know. I got to get you on, Pritch. But Michael Lombardi, you get him going about the fact that, you know, you could bet on a game at noontime, and by 8 p.m., the line could be completely different because these guys are out. And we've hammered home the fact that if you're not on TweetDeck, if you're not on Twitter, if you're not tracking, waking up and writing down names of guys who could be questionable or the back-to-back guys who could rest, I think you're really behind the eight ball. But I got to be honest with you, Pritch. I've kind of come to like a moment of zen with the NBA. I'm just kind of like, you know, I'll focus on baseball and hockey during the day, and I'll look at NBA later in the day. And that's kind of benefited me a little bit. I'll give you an example today. I was looking at the over in the Lakers game against the Hornets. It was like 206 up to 208. And then Terry Rozier is downgraded doubtful. One of the best players on the Hornets here. That 208 comes down to 206.5. Okay. So to me, it's like, you know, you can't change it. It is what it is. I wish there was a way that we got this information a little bit earlier. But to me, take it easy on yourself. Wait until later in the day and just kind of say to yourself, I'll look at these lines. I'll write down on a notebook some that catch my eye. But I'm not going to bet anything until later once I get confirmation on who's in and who's out.
Being an educated bettor, I think, will do you justice, Josh. You know, Jamal Murray's injury, I hate for stuff like that to happen too, like you mentioned earlier. But you think about his injury history. He's been lingering. He's been dealing with injuries. And so it's just a matter of time until your body says, okay, wait a minute, you need a timeout here. And I don't want to, you know, mitigate this ACL injury at all. But I think from an athlete's perspective, and that's what I'm saying right now, I want to make sure I'm right out there. As bettors, as fans, we want our superstars to play. But certainly as players, you want your body to be right. So keep that in mind when you're betting these games out there.
No, I think it's a great point, Pritch. And, you know, of course, when you do a show with me, everything comes back to Boston.
Of course.
And I'll say this, you know, and of course, but my guy, Julian Edelman, one of the greatest Patriots of all time. We just saw him retire. And of course, a guy that was tough as nails. But you get to a point where I've heard reports his knee was so bad, it's bone on bone. So you see a guy like that and you say, number one, I saw yesterday, it was kind of weird the way they phrased this. They said his contract was terminated. And I said, okay, he's going to the Bucks. He's going to leave the Patriots. Patriots. He's going to team up with Brady. That was my first inclination. But then you see later in the day, he announces his own retirement. So this is just the thing about sports. You know, sometimes, you know, you're betting on one side and a guy on the other side gets hurt and you say that's good. Sometimes it hurts you. Sometimes it helps you. But I think overall, you know, we want to bet on the best product on the field, whether that's a football field, basketball, baseball, hockey, doesn't matter. And a guy like Edelman, you know, that was a sort of thing where, you know, he played pretty well those first few games with Cam Newton, Pritch. Remember in Seattle?
Sure.
He had like 100 receiving yards. He looked really good. And then you really didn't hear from him after that. And when you take a pounding like that, especially in Pritch, you know, you're a former pro player, the constant beating that a wide receiver takes, when you get to that bone on bone with your knee, that's when you get in trouble. So I don't know, you know, Jamal Murray's injury history going back to maybe in college, but it's just, you know, can you get a surgery and come back? We live in 2021. We're great modern medicine, but also if you're so hurt, there maybe is no turning back. And you just hope with Murray, you know, he gets the surgery, he comes back strong next year. But I'm sad to see my guy Edelman go, man. That was my guy, Pritch. It's tough to see him go.
You know what, Josh? We felt the impact of Edelman all the way out here because Stephanie, she was equally as sad. Our producer, she was equally as sad about the news about Edelman. But bone on bone is what ended my career, too. So Edelman got a couple more years than I did. But his impact out there with the Patriots was great. It was awesome. Legendary, to be honest with you.
And Pritch, I just want to ask you, take the viewers, you know, into your injury. What was it like? Did you know, like, did you say, hey, I can rehab this, I can get back? Or was it, this is a different feeling than I've experienced before? What was that like with your bone on bone?
Well, I was getting my knee drained 3 times a week. So that means I was getting a needle in the knee 3 times a week leading up to a game. And then I would get that Toradol shot. The great Toradol shot. I would get that on game day. And I tell you what, Josh, I felt like I was 25 out there instead of 30 because of that Toradol shot. And so it did wonders. But after the game, I mean, I couldn't even walk. What Edelman's going through is real. And you just hope that, you know, for his quality of life, he's going to be okay. And I think he will. I mean, he's shutting it down probably at the right time. It's unfortunate that he's got to go out this way because nobody likes to end the game this way. But Edelman, he was a warrior out there.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, me as a Boston sports fan, you know, I'm going back to I was seeing some highlights and everything. The Seattle Seahawks and Patriots Super Bowl. He took that shot from Cam Chancellor. He got up. I mean, in today's NFL, I don't know if he passes a concussion test after that one. But just an absolute warrior. And again, you know, the Patriots were lucky. They went from, you know, Troy Brown. And this is all me growing up. I'm 33, Pritch. It was always Troy Brown. And then it was Wes Welker and Julian Edelman. And it seemed like it got better every time. So, you know, those are now great memories for me, but I don't know who steps up now. I guess Belichick's going to have to find a new 7th-round pick who used to play quarterback. I don't know who that'll be.
Aguilar. He'll be the new guy out there, maybe. Maybe. Let's get to this Brooklyn-Minnesota game because that was postponed certainly from yesterday, and we're going to get that this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern. And so we have a line right now, Josh. Brooklyn is -6.5, 233.5 is a total. Now, I think there's some injury concerns in this one as well, but then also just the state of mind of these players as they're going to play this game that was postponed.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Pritch. So obviously, you know, a terrible incident with a man who was killed in Minnesota, and the Red Sox game was postponed yesterday. The Wild, all these Minnesota teams took the day off to pay respect. But I think what you're seeing here, Pritch, this is a tough one for me. We talk about injuries. You got a lot of guys out. You have Carl Anthony Towns out for personal reasons in this game. We also know James Harden's been out. Kyrie's out. LaMarcus Aldridge, who I think Aldridge was a sneaky huge pickup for the Nets. He's played very well for them. But all these guys are out. What we have seen, Durant is still supposed to play here. And again, this is a 4 o'clock game, so we're coming up real close here, about 40 minutes. We have seen a big move here to the Nets. So I think with Carl Anthony Towns being out, that was your one hope that maybe you could cover this spot at home. With him now out of the lineup, the Nets have seen a lot of steam based on injuries, based on respected money coming in. The Nets went, some of these openers were -5.5, all the way up now to 7.5.
And I see it looks that like, now too.
Yeah, it continues to move here, Pritch. So to me, you know, I don't want to touch the spread too much because I think if you like the Nets, and again, they could win by 14, you say, why didn't I lay 7.5? But you're kind of getting the worst of the number now with the Nets. The Wolves, I would say that will be a hazmat play and grab the inflated line, but I'm not really interested in that either. My one play, Pritch, if you're dying about this game, would be the under. Mm-hmm. That kind of intrigued me a bit. You know, this did open around 233.5. It's now down to 231.5. We do know, obviously, the Nets have been a really good over team, 32-21. We do have the Wolves getting D'Angelo Russell back, but to me, this is like, you know, if you can take advantage of a line that moves quick, Based on injury, all the power to you. When there's injuries both sides and the line's already moved multiple points, this is kind of the ultimate don't touch it. And if you made me touch it, I would lean a little bit to the under.
Okay. Yeah, 231 and a half, like you mentioned. You think about KD with the B team of the Nets, too. It did not look very good against the Lakers. Now, this is the T-Wolves. T-Wolves at home without their spectacular players, too. So this one is a tough one for me to touch as well.
Yeah, it totally is here, Pritch. And again, you know, I'm not a big DFS guy, daily fantasy, but mm-hmm. I know I have some friends who love games like this because sometimes when these guys are out, you look up who's next in line, you know, mm-hmm. who's going to now start at these positions with these guys out. And if you're into DFS, you could then kind of target their replacements who would probably be pretty cheap and, kind of allow you to create a lineup with some cheaper players that maybe are getting more extra time here with these guys out. So, Pritch, I love sports betting. I dabble DFS, but I stick with sports betting, but that just came to mind.
It's a good thought, though, because I was looking for angles, to be honest with you. Edwards, for instance. I mean, could he step up and show out in the game today? But I'm just not going to touch it. I'm just not even going to come close to this basketball game. We're going to continue with more basketball. We got an interesting schedule as well as we'll get into the baseball schedule. All that and more coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wager options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the MGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. Be sure to have that state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum, your host today. And Josh, we got an update on a score in baseball. Minnesota's leading Boston 2-0 in the top of the fourth. It was snowing earlier out there in this ball game.
No, it was. I turned it on. I actually have a play on the Red Sox, so not a great start for me here, Pritch. But yeah, Minnesota, the weather up there, man, it's crazy. Mm. Snowing. I think it was 33 degrees. Heard on the broadcast that it was the coldest Red Sox game since like 1970, when the announcer Jerry Remy was actually playing. So yeah, it's tough. Hopefully you don't hit the end of the bat there and really can, you know, if you don't have any batting gloves, that can be really rough. But I would say one thing about the Red Sox, if you're holding a Red Sox ticket, obviously it is early. We'll see what happens. But they had a really sharp move. The Sox were at one point, I think they opened around like plus 130, got down to plus 115. So this is the kind of play that I like, a road dog buying low with a high total. That's another thing. If you're on a dog, you want a high total, which in a game in baseball is like at least 8.5, or really 9 or higher, because that means more expected runs scored. It could mean more of them are coming from the dog, could lead to more variance, more upset opportunities. We have seen dogs high totals, dogs with line moves, and dogs off a win do pretty well thus far. So, Pritch, it's early. If you see me go nuts when we're doing the show, it's because hopefully JD Martinez hit a home run or something. So I'm sweating the socks right now.
I hear you. Let's sweat it. I love that. Clippers Pacers in the NBA. You got 5 in a row for the Clippers, 3 in a row for Indiana. The Pacers 1-3 in the last 4 home games. Hasn't really been scoring outside of that explosion against Minnesota. I think they had 141 points. What do you have here, Josh? Clippers -3.
Yeah, so what's interesting here, Pritch, number one, the Clippers, 37-18. They played great. They've won 5 straight. They're 8-2 their last 10. They're the 3 seed out west as of right now. Look at the Pacers. They're really fighting for their playoff lives. They're maybe looking at that play-in tournament. Right now they're the 9 seed, but they've also won 3 straight, 25 and 27 overall. The one good thing about this game is I think I'm going to jinx it, Pritch, but barring anyone else being out for this game, I think we kind of know who's in and who's out. So no Kawhi Leonard, right. No Miles Turner there for the Pacers. Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds made a good point earlier when I was talking to them about this game. You've seen this total rise. So, Pritch, if you like this over, is 231 to 232. And Miles Turner, which Wes mentioned, big defensive guy. So him being out of the middle there, that does benefit, you would assume, the over here. But Pritch, I like the Clippers on a money line play here. And a lot of times when I'm betting any kind of sport, I look at situations and I look for repeat situations that have done well historically. And what I like about the Clippers is they're kind of in the same exact spot as what we saw with the 76ers last night at the Mavericks. Kind of a short favorite that becomes more of a favorite, a road favorite type move here. You know, you saw yesterday the 76ers, they were around -2.5 up to 3.5 against the Mavs. I moneyline them, you know, they end up rolling luckily, but I see the same sort of line movement here in this game. It's also, you know, typically the Clippers are a huge public play anytime they take the court. With Kawhi out, they're not a huge public play. It's kind of a split ticket count, yet all this movement has been toward the Clippers. They went from -2.5 up to -3. Some shops are maybe trending even toward 3.5. So you know me, Pritch, I like money line plays when you're in this short favorite situation. I'm willing to pay a little more juice here, -150, just for the peace of mind of knowing I just got to win the game. And here's some good trends that you might like. The Clippers as a favorite this year, they've covered numbers, 27 and 20 ATS, 57%. Mm-hmm. And you'll get the Pacers as a dog. They're only 10 and 13 ATS. As a home dog, they're only 2 and 5 ATS. So it worked with the Sixers last night. I'm going to go back to the well with a similar sort of line move. Money line the Clips here. Hope they win the game.
Okay, because I was wondering, you know, you're looking at a spread at -3. Are you stretching a little bit right there with that money line, or probably not? I mean, you just want the peace of mind, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think it comes down to you and your personal preference, right, as a bettor. But to me, Pritch, this is kind of my cutoff right now. Mm-hmm. You know, anything -150 or higher on a money line, to me, it's like you might as well just take the spread. You know, but if you can keep it 150 or less, to me, it's like 3, 2.5. I don't want to go anything further than that on a money line play. But, you know, again, it's up to you. You know, if you can look at it one of two ways, Pritch. If the Clippers win by two, win by one, you know, you're like, thank God I money lined it. If they win by 10, you're like, maybe I should have just laid the points here. But I think this is right on the edge. Anything higher than this, I think I'd probably lay off the money line and go spread.
Okay, once again, the information on that total, it's up to 232 out here in Vegas. Not too much right there.
No Turner. Yeah. Let's get some points here.
Okay,
Pritch.
Let's do it.
Luckily, you got some time to think about it.
Yeah, so, that's right. We do. 7:40 p.m. Eastern. We'll continue with the association and start our preview in Major League Baseball as well. That's coming up next. Our daily members only best bet emails and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to start your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum, your host today. And Josh, Hawks, Raptors. I think the Hawks has played well against the Raptors. In fact, they beat them both times that they played them. And the Raptors are going the other way. The Hawks 7-3 in the last 10 games. So what do you have here? The Hawks -224.5 is the total.
Yeah, so I'm leaning the Hawks in this one, Pritch. Okay. Just another game where, again, get your tweet deck open. You got to monitor the status of another star player here, Trae Young, calf injury. He's questionable as of right now. We want, depending on what side you're on, I think you got to know Trae Young's status. But we did find out that Kyle Lowry is out for this game. It does look like Fred VanVleet also will be out. He's been out for a few games here at this point. But the Lowry injury really, and it looks like it's just rest for Lowry, that really, really affected this line because you saw the Raptors, a lot of these books open Raptors -3, 3-point favorite. This tells you the importance of Kyle Lowry to the line. And also maybe a, you know, kind of an anticipatory move with maybe, and this will makes me think that Trae Young may be in. Again, you can take a walk a tightrope here because he could be in, he could be out, but it looks like with Lowry out and the way this line has gone to the Hawks, I guess what I'm getting at, Pritch, is maybe this goes 3 to a pick with no Lowry, but the fact that it's flipped all the way to Hawks -2, maybe that means that that Trae Young could be playing in this game.
Okay.
So what I would look at maybe is a money line play here on the Hawks. This is another one, you know, -130, just win the game again. And, you know, the cutoff to me, as we mentioned in the previous segment, 150 or higher. But wait to see Trae Young's status. And here's what I would do. You know, if you want to bet the Hawks, have one, if you're lucky enough to have two monitors or an iPad and a screen and a computer or whatever you got going, have your sportsbook account open. Have your Twitter account open. As soon as you find out, ideally, that Trae Young is playing, this -2 maybe goes to -4. That money line goes from maybe -130 to, I don't know, -170, something like that. That would be what I would look for. But you have a Hawks team that's playing better, a Raptors team that struggled, no Lowry, no VanVleet. If you get confirmation that Trae Young is playing, I'd be looking at Hawks on a money line play here.
Okay, Trae Young has that calf. I mean, if you're the Hawks, do you mess with that calf? If you're Trae Young, do you mess with that calf injury?
Yeah, it's a good point, Pritch. Again, you know, you look at their positioning here. You know, they're trying to make the playoffs for the first time in a long time,
yeah.
And you don't want to risk that, especially what we've seen with Jamal Murray. You know, it could be a completely different situation or scenario, but something's going on with his calf. You really don't want to see this thing linger. Maybe you bite the bullet and see if you can beat the Raptors without him tonight. For me, if I'm betting the Hawks, I want him in here, Pritch. But you are right. You know, the smartest move for the Hawks, maybe to sit him, depending on the severity of the injury.
Okay. Snowflakes again out there in Minnesota. Minnesota leads Boston 2-0. Bottom of the fourth inning. Let's turn our attention to baseball. Athletics and the Diamondbacks. Luzardo on the bump for the A's. Josh Applebaum. You have Athletics -105 here. That total 8.5 of this game.
Yeah, so pretty much a pick 'em here, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Kind of tells you two evenly matched teams. You did see the A's win last night. Oakland won 9-5. And one thing taking from that Oakland play last night, if you took Oakland, I like these moves 5 cents, 10 cents or more toward a side. So you did see the A's who won last night. They were like kind of a short -115, -120 favorite. They got up to -125, close to -130. But when I see a 10-cent move, that really kind of piques my interest, especially if it's not a quote-unquote public play and it's more respected money coming in. You go to today's game here, Pritch. I don't love it either way. I lean a little bit to the D-backs just based on the way the opener has, you started with the opener and where the line is now, because a lot of these books did open with Oakland as a slight favorite around -115. And you do have Oakland, you know, who started off really bad, Pritch. I think the day we worked, remember, they were against Kershaw as a huge dog and they actually beat the Dodgers. I think it was their first win of the year last week. You have the D-backs struggling a little bit. The A's are kind of getting hot now after a tough start. Yet Arizona, the line is moving in their favor. You saw Arizona go from some plus money at the beginning around +105 now to -105. So the line is trending toward the D-backs here. And also look at, with the total, it did go 9 down to 8.5. And here's another tip if you're betting baseball and you're betting totals. Of course, pay attention to the juice and the way a line is moving. But also Chase Field, Arizona, it looks like the roof is closed here. And
okay.
If you're betting in a total, I want a roof to be closed. If it's a dome or closed roof stadium, the ball doesn't travel as far. It's perfect conditions for the pitcher. So it benefits unders historically. You also have James Hoy, home plate umpire, who's decent to the under historically. But again, if you're betting an under, I want the roof closed. You do have that here. A little bit of movement here to the snakes in this one.
Okay, how about the Mariners and Orioles, Josh? Sheffield and Means on the bump right there in this game. I think this one of them was postponed because of weather, right? So we have the Mariners and the Orioles in this one. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, so this one's gross, Pritch. I'm putting on my
gross
hazmat suit,
okay,
and it is bad. But I'm liking Baltimore here, believe it or not.
Okay. Home favorite,
kind of a,
huh?
Yeah, home favorite. So number one, you look at this and you say, Pritch, why on earth would I lay a -133 to the Orioles? It's just like, and right off the bat, when you kind of think of that in your head, that actually makes me like a play even more, because imagine how bad that looks to an average Joe better.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just like, why, you know, take the plus money with the Mariners. The Orioles should never be favored that much against anybody here. But what I like is it just kind of stinks to me. The line has moved toward the Orioles. A lot of these books open Orioles. You know, they were kind of like -125-ish. They're now -133. At one point, they got to like, or inched up to like -140. But you look at it, and majority bets Seattle, yet line is moving to the Orioles. You also have, the Orioles. They've lost three straight. Seattle's won two straight. yet the Orioles are favorites. This is kind of one of those looks too good to be true, almost always is. And I do know John Means, the lefty going for Baltimore today. I saw him shut down the Red Sox on opening day, and this guy had a great changeup going. He's one of their good young left-handed pitchers. So to me, it looks like it's so terrible. It makes you really like the Orioles today.
Okay, so once a contrarian, always a contrarian. It doesn't matter, right? I mean, dog, favorite, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, so the funny thing is contrarian, nine times out of 10, means a dog. Mm-hmm. But when the public loves a favorite, that's when you can – or when the public loves a dog, and that's when you get these trendy dogs, that's when you can kind of buy low on these favorites. So, again, it's, you know, walking to the bar, everyone's sweating Seattle. Give me that Orioles ticket. That's what I like.
I hear you. The gross play of the day right there, I believe. We haven't gone through the whole schedule, so but up to this point, the gross play of the day right there, Seattle and Baltimore.
We got plenty more, Pritch, too, because when we get I just wait. I got a couple more for you we'll hit on, but you're totally right. That's just something, if it makes no sense, the odds makers aren't dumb. They're the smartest guys in the room. So if they're making you, if they're saying get this plus money with Seattle, who's won a couple straight, you'd probably rush to the window and say give it to me. But again, why are they getting plus money?
Right.
It looks like the Orioles to me would be the sharp side.
Josh, they have algorithms and everything on their side out there with the books.
Oh, they're the best again. That's what makes sports betting right. Hard, but also really fun. The challenge of, you know, trying to put your head together, make the smartest bet you can, but know that this isn't easy. That's why when you win, it's even that more satisfying.
Okay, buckle up because we have Eric Edholm coming up on the program. He's a Yahoo NFL draft analyst. I know, Josh, you've been a deep dive with this year's NFL draft, so we're going to do that with Eric. That's coming up next. BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 with a $1 wager on the Clippers versus Pacers game. Just download the app and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Use bonus code VSIN100 when you download that app. BetMGM.com for more details as well. Use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if either team hits a three. It's a new customer offer and it's paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. And Tennessee, call or text the red line 800-889-9789. In Indiana, it's 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum, your host today. And happy to bring onto the program Eric Edholm. He's a Yahoo NFL draft analyst. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing all right. What's going on?
A lot. A lot's going on.
Yeah.
A lot to keep up with. Thanks so much for your time. So we have Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, GM and coach for the San Francisco 49ers. They're out going to be watching another Justin Fields pro day. They've traded up to number 3 weeks ago. I thought they had their minds made up.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're saying, right? Or what they're saying, I should say, is they're open to, you know, multiple options, right? And they're going to take all the information that's out there, including this second workout from Fields, which they had to miss because they couldn't be in two places at one time. But, yeah, I mean, it is fascinating, right? You assume when a team trades up to a spot, we think we know what the first two picks are going to be. You never know for sure until they actually happen. But, you know, you would assume that they had the guy sort of earmarked, right? Mm-hmm. But kind of like what the Jets did a few years ago when they moved from 6 to 3. We didn't know what quarterback they were taking, and we didn't know what the Giants were going to do at number 2 that year. They ended up taking Saquon Barkley, but they could have taken a quarterback. They could have taken Sam Darnold, theoretically. So they were kind of flying in blind, and I would say even a little blinder than the 49ers. But So there's always that risk. And I think you have to have a worst case scenario if you're a GM, right? I mean, they take somehow Mac Jones goes second or one of these other guys. So I think they're going to try to get all the information possible, you know, cross their T's, dot their I's and all that, and make sure that what I suspect is their first inkling to take Mac is the right move.
Eric, this is Josh Applebaum. Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, kind of piggybacking on what Pritch just mentioned, you know, I'm a nerd when it comes to the NFL draft. I really like it. I think there's a lot of betting opportunities here to make some money. What we've seen really is, you know, Eric, Trevor Lawrence, shoo-in to go number one. He's like minus 10,000. There's really no value there. You got to risk so much. You're not going to get anything in return. But then, like, a good example would be Zach Wilson. You know, we expect him to go two. And really, a couple weeks ago, he was minus 175. Now he's jumped up all the way to, I think he's like minus 2,000 now at this point. But kind of what Pritch was asking you, you know, what do you think is going to happen with number three? Because if, based on these betting odds, you have Lawrence one, you have Wilson two, the draft really starts at three. And we actually did see, you know, yesterday Mac Jones was minus 300 to go third. Now he's down to minus 200. So the line did fall a little bit. And my question would be, is this, you know, the due diligence of the 49ers checking out Fields, or they've been linked to Jones? They're going to Fields Pro Day. Is this a crazy smokescreen where they actually take Trey Lance, the one guy they're not talking about? So just your take overall on the thinking of the 49ers here.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one I've had to think about now for a few weeks. And my initial gut reaction when the trade was announced, you know, I said, all right, let's assume Lawrence and Wilson go 1-2. What are the 49ers' option? Let's try to rank them and weigh them and see what, you know, would make the most sense. From the cost they paid to move up that high, my initial gut was, well, they want Trey Lance, right? He's the guy with the high ceiling. He's sort of the, you know, the unpolished gem, if you will, who had 17 starts at the FCS level, only won last year in that showcase game against Central Arkansas, and didn't play particularly well or didn't throw the ball all that well in that game, but was terrific as a redshirt freshman, leading his team to a 16-0 record. And, you know, the physical traits are there, the mental traits are there. They talk about how well he changes protections, how well he handles, you know, coverage changes and things like that. So, you know, there's so much to get excited about. That was my initial gut reaction. And I put Mac Jones 2, Justin Fields 3, based on some things I had heard about what, you know, Kyle Shanahan looks for in his quarterbacks, et cetera. But as time went on and the Jones report started heating up, I understood why. Does that mean I agreed with it? No, because I think Jones has to be in a perfect scenario, just like he was in Alabama. And maybe the Niners have that, right? If they're close to the 2019 form, I could see it. But perhaps this workout has shifted the odds in bettor's favor a little bit to where, you know, the payoff can be a little better for you. You can grab it before that number potentially goes back up again. So again, I'm not usually one to dispense betting information or, you know, advice, I should say, but because I'm not as good at it as I think I am sometimes. But if it's dropped down now, sometimes that's based on intel, sometimes it's based on just public perception. So perhaps that door being creaked open just a little bit for Fields actually gives the Mac Jones bettors a little bit of a boost.
We're speaking with Eric Edholm, Yahoo NFL draft analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. I'm in the same boat as a former player, Eric. I'm like, let's get nuts here. Kyle Pitts, 50-1 to go 3 overall. And here's why. Like, if I think about Mac Jones as a 3rd overall pick, and the 49ers going to the Super Bowl, that doesn't move the needle. But if they get Kyle Pitts 3rd overall, that moves the needle for the 49ers along with Garoppolo to perhaps get back to the Super Bowl.
You know, you're singing to me. I mean, if there was a non-quarterback that should go in that spot, I'm all for it. I think Kyle Pitts is an alien. I mean, I you know, I've never had a tight end graded this high before. I don't even know if you could call him a tight end. He's just an offensive weapon. Can he block? Yeah, he's actually not terrible at it. I've seen people kind of knock his blocking and all that, but he gives effort. He's willing, and he's got the physical tools. To me, that tells me that in time he could be a Travis Kelce-like blocker, let's say. You know, he's always out there, you know, giving effort, even if he's not Gronkowski in his prime. So that said, we're talking about somebody who can, you know, tear up the seam, be a red zone weapon, moves like a wide receiver. Teams were putting cornerbacks on him. I mean, you know, they had no answers for him, really. And you know, all Kyle Trask had to do was put it in the same zip code, and Pitts was coming down with it. But yeah, that's a heavy price to pay for any position not named quarterback, and especially a tight end. I know that position gets knocked on a little bit for being a little bit of a ancillary spot, but man, he's my number two overall player, and I just don't have a lot of weaknesses for him. So I would endorse the move if they feel good about Jimmy Garoppolo, but that's the only issue.
Eric, let me take you to the running back position because, you know, when I look at these prop bets, it's like you got to get them early because the line could really go away from you. But also, I want to target props where these lines are a little bit shorter. You got a plus 150 one side, a minus 150 the other. Yeah. To me, these are the ones you want to target because if you're plus money, you get a decent payout. And if you're on the favorite, you're not laying that much. So I think there's value there. So here's what I'll throw to you. I think the big question is Travis Etienne or Najee Harris. We do have Travis Etienne plus 225 dog. Najee Harris is a minus 160 favorite to be first running back selected. And if you read between the lines, the over-under on running back selected in the first round is 1.5. And actually the under is minus 200. So it seems like odds makers are expecting only one running back first round or none overall. But I'm a big Najee Harris guy. My guy Pritch is a Travis Etienne guy. Who do you think goes first here, Eric? And by the way, I did bet Harris first, so hopefully you tell me something I like.
You know, I'm gonna be one of those guys who's the contrarian here. I'm gonna say if you're looking for a long shot, Javonte Williams possibly. I don't know that, you know. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but if you feel like laying a little bit of a long shot bet, I would put a couple of bucks on Javonte in the sense that maybe he's this year's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, we talked about Dobbins and Swift and the other, you know, Jonathan Taylor last year, and there was all this debate. And a lot of people in the draft betting spheres were saying Edwards-Helaire is your number four betting line, I think, or three or four in a lot of places. So I didn't see it coming, but that could happen again. Now, that said, if I had to pick between Harris and Etienne, it really is a tough call because even though I like Najee a little bit better as an all-around back, if you put Etienne as that third down option and let him catch the ball and let him work in space and give him that, you know, 12 to 18 touch diet per game, he could be electric. You know, in the right offense, he could be special. So, you know, if there's a team sitting in the back end around one that says, we don't necessarily need a power back. We need someone who can make people miss. We need a yards after the catch guy. You know, production without a ton of carries, that's Travis Etienne. So it's a little tricky because I really don't have a great feel for it, even though the odds clearly dictate that Harris is, you know, the more likely to be the first one taken. So the way you laid it out is exactly right. I would say one is probably the number, but I wouldn't be stunned if a second one crept in there at the end.
17 regular season games, New Orleans, ATN. I'm going with the over on this one, Eric, because 17 regular season games, I think you need a 1-2 punch more than ever now.
Great point. Yeah. No, that's, you know, it's something that hasn't been talked about a lot as we kind of sit there and sift through, you know, what the effects will be on that extra game. And offensive linemen, you need them. You need depth on defense, but you certainly need the run game also to help out the whole operation, I would think.
Well, this Absolutely. Was awesome, right, yeah. Josh?
I love it. Although I'm worried about Najee Harris now, so thanks, Eric. appreciate the insight.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just hedge with that Williams bet, and you'll be all right, man.
There you go. Eric Edholm, Yahoo NFL Draft Analyst. That was awesome, Eric. Thanks again for your time.
Have a great day, guys.
See you. Too. You too. Absolutely. Well, Josh, you know, I'm right there with you with the, I wouldn't call it nerddom, but just infatuation with draft.
I just think the draft is something, if you put in the work and pay attention to your homework, you can really make some money and beat closing numbers. That's why I think it's so much fun.
That's right. And it can change your life, too. I'm a testament to that. That'll do it for hour number one. Hour number two, more baseball and some more NBA as well. That's coming up next.